So what is a human being yearning for? It looks like they're looking for different things. But essentially, whether they're seeking education or wealth or money or relationships or whatever, essentially they're looking for some sense of fulfillment. Everybody believes this thing will do it for me. Somebody believes that will do it for me. So what they believe as what is going to fulfill them may be different. But the common factor is they're looking for fulfillment. If you want fulfillment, you know, different people are doing different things. If you do it on the physical level, seeking fulfillment, it could be food and sexuality. People are seeking fulfillment. If you do it on the mental level, it could be ambition, conquest, or simply shopping. If it's on the emotional level, people are looking for love. So these are all the different ways. See, there are only four things with which we can work. We have a body, we have a mind, we have emotions, and we have fundamental energies, life energies. These are the only four ways they can act. So physical things they have tried. It brings momentary fulfillment, but again, you're in square one after some time. Whatever is ambition, whatever is those kind of things, acquiring things in life, all these things are meaningful only when you don't have it. The moment you have it, it means really nothing. Most people are taking pleasure that somebody else doesn't have it and they still value it, enjoying other people's failures. But essentially, all things that you desire are meaningful only when you don't have it. The moment you have it, most people, precious things that they've bought are all like somewhere junk in the house. Hello? How many things that you shopped for have not been touched or looked at for the last 6 months? That says everything, isn't it? So what is the way to remain fulfilled? Fulfillment not as a goal, fulfillment as a process itself, as a life process. So when they find a way, that way can only be inward. So in some way, you're looking there, when you turn around and look here, when you see it's so simple, well, it overwhelms them, you saw. The only way out is in. There's no other way, because human experience, no matter what, whether it is turbulence or tranquility, whether it's joy or misery, agony or ecstasy, pain or pleasure, everything happens from within. There may be a stimulus from the outside, but it happens from within. Whatever you can instigate with a stimulus, you can also instigate consciously without any stimulus from outside. It's like if you had a car in 1950s, morning you had to push start it. Today your car is self-start, I believe. The question is this: whatever is your experience happens within you. Do you want it to be in such a way it is on self-start, or it needs a push from outside? When you find a self-start, then everything that you want is right here. You don't have to run after anything. What you do in the world is as it's needed. People keep asking me, Sadhguru, what drives you like this? 7 days of the week, 365 days. I said, nothing drives me. I drive. Nothing drives me. I'm essentially lazy, but they're not giving me one day break. See, when we say within, where does anxiety, anger, this, that happen? I'm just asking a simple question to all of them. The human misery, whatever type of misery, these are all different names for misery, unpleasantness. Where is the manufacturing unit for human misery? Melbourne, is it? Where is it? Your mind. So you are just going into the mental space and thinking it's full of all this. No. In mind, you can do whatever you want. As an experiment right now, if I ask you to close your eyes and think of a mountain, can you do it? You can. Ocean, of course you can do it. So I'm saying you can go to any place in your mind. People have dreams which are more real than real for many of them. Simply because in your mind you can create any image. That is the beauty of human mind, that you can create whatever image you want. So you can build whatever you want mentally. But if you start believing it's true, then generally this will get labeled as neurotic. Let's say you build a castle in the air and you start believing it's true, then you're neurotic. If you start living there, you're psychotic. You can build whatever you want in your mind, but you must know it is just a psychological structure. If you start thinking it's real, then you have all these problems, anxieties, fears, depressions, this, that, because you are believing structures that you built up in your mind. You are not able to differentiate between psychological structures and existential realities. When you misunderstand your psychological drama as existential, then there is no hope.
Hello?
You should know. I can make anything. I can sit here and fall in love. I can sit here and hate somebody who doesn't exist. Anything you want, you can do in your mind. But you have lost that freedom to do anything you want. You have become compulsive as to what you can do. That's the only problem. So this is a journey from compulsiveness to consciousness. So if they've taken one or two steps, they're thinking it's too fantastic already. I want them to walk further, but they want to fall down. No. I want you to, you've taken two steps, and if it's feeling so fantastic, if you make the entire journey, how fabulous it will be. That's what you need to do. Not thinking, this is it, Sadhguru, I got it. That's not the point. Two steps are looking so wonderful. You must go all the way, isn't it?
Hello?
See, the word spiritual is one of the most corrupted words because it's been captured by all kinds of people. Because spirits means there are some ghosts and goblins who will come and do this and that stuff. Otherwise, they are in heaven and they come, whatever. This has been captured. Essentially, let me define this. So this is physical. How did you get this? When you are a child, when you were born, you were only this much. Now you become this much. How did it happen? Just the food that you've eaten, isn't it? It's an accumulation over a period of time. Whatever you have in your mind, that is also accumulation of impressions. Whatever you accumulate can be yours, but cannot be you, isn't it? What I gather can belong to me, but cannot be me, is that so? Now, the very way you are is such that what you gather and who you are is all mixed up. It is true you gathered this body over a period of time.
Hello?
It is true all the content of your mind you gathered over a period of time. But now you think it's me. If you believe yourself to be something other than what you are, that is a medical case. Yes or no? So right now that's all that's happened. See, all the countless number of people who walked on this planet before you and me, where are they? Topsoil. All the best. They're topsoil. This also will become topsoil. Hello? I'll bless you with a long life. But anyway, you will die. Is it okay? Hello? It's not my wish. Because nobody is negotiating life and death. We are only negotiating little more time. Little more time we want, that's all. So, essentially, what we gather, we put it back. It's very simple. But somehow when we sit here, we think absolutely this is me. So once you make this mistake that you don't know which is you, which is not you. I sat on this chair for a long time. Then I start thinking, this is me. Just see how ugly it becomes. Wherever I walk, this seat is sticking to me and I walk with it. How ugly it becomes. That's how it is. The moment you get identified with something that you are not, something turns ugly. Because now fears, anxiety, simply, if something happens, there is a problem. Nothing happens, there is a problem. Tell me one damn thing that human beings are not suffering. They are not educated, they suffer that. Put them to school, they suffer endlessly. If they are poor, they suffer poverty. Make them rich, they suffer taxes. So you look, seems like you're suffering everything. Let's give you death. They'll suffer that. You suffer life, you suffer death, you suffer everything. If it happens, if it doesn't happen. Where is the problem? The problem is just this. We have given you, we means nature, has given you a very sophisticated computer out here. But you don't know where the keyboard is. So you keep knocking yourself like this, like that. Something works. Many times these days, all the young people have this habit of keeping their smartphone in their hip pocket. And whenever they sit, it calls somebody. Will it call who you want? No, if you want to call who you want, you have to do the right thing. So right now, this is all that's happening with one's mind. The most fantastic faculty that you have compared to any other creature on this planet. You have a better brain than Wombat. Hello? You have a better brain than any other damn creature on this planet. Yes or no? More complex, more sophisticated. But just see how much misery human beings are manufacturing. If you remove half their brains, they would be peaceful. This is what they're trying to do. This is a weekend. I don't know how you're here. They're trying to soak their brains in alcohol so that, see, If you take away the potential, the problem is always gone. But is that the way to deal with your life? Take away the possibilities, then problem is also gone. So, how do we handle this? The first and foremost thing is, if you sit here, you become conscious. Your body is here, your mind is there. What is you is a little away, little space. Once there is a little space between you and your physical realities and your psychological realities, this is the end of suffering, because there are only two kinds of sufferings in your life: physical suffering and mental suffering. Little distance, suddenly, they are not a problem. And once you create little distance, the nature of your body and the nature of your mind is 100% clear to you. See, for example, you know, whether this earth is flat or round, big discussion. For 1,000 years, we've been arguing about this. The man who said it is round was poisoned to death because everybody believed it's flat. It's just then we started navigating the oceans, we saw maybe it is round, but still we don't know. Then somebody took off and started flying. Oh, almost definitely it's round, but not sure. Someone went and stood on the moon and looked down, 100% round. Distance, isn't it? If you were walking on this planet, doing no other means of transportation, we're just walking on this planet, we would still be arguing the same thing, is it round or flat? Even now, if you walk up and down here, your experience of life is it's a flat earth, isn't it? But it's round, we know that now without beyond any doubt. So, suppose you're going to the airport, you're in a rush, but there's a traffic jam. Now, this traffic jam causes so much suffering. Then somehow you got there, got into the plane and your plane took off. Then you look down. Traffic jams look so pretty. Red lights and white lights. Have you seen them from the airplane? How pretty they are. But when you're in it, so this is all. Your whole mental turmoil, when you're in it, it's like that. If you're a little above it, you know the nature of your mind. Dealing with it is very simple. How many of you can get your right hand like this? Please try this. Wow, not bad at all. Can you get it here, your right hand? Please try this. Wow, so much control you have. Try to do this with your mind. You want to put it here, it goes there. You want to put it there, it goes somewhere else. You want to put it there, it's gone. So, when you have a faculty like this, if you want it to go here, it goes there. It's dangerous to live. Hello? So, this is why so much fear. Because basic faculties are not in your hands. And if I ask you a simple question, all of you, would you like a sharp mind or a blunt mind? You want a sharp mind. Once we give you an instrument which is very sharp, you must know how to hold it. Why we don't give a sharp knife to a child's hand? Not because a knife is dangerous. Never has it happened. A knife jumped and stabbed somebody. Did it ever happen? It is only the hand which handles it, whether this knife can be used to save a life or take a life, is determined by who is holding it, right? So the same thing goes for your mind. If you have a very sharp knife in your hand and you're a little la-la-la-la-la-la-la kind, intestines will come out. Worse than that is happening right now. What human mind is doing to individual people, their own mind, what it is doing to them is worse than intestines coming out. More painful. Hello? All kinds of things. Why? Because if I give you a knife, first thing you should know, which is blade, which is handle. If you hold the wrong end, tighter you hold, more it'll hurt. And if you don't know how to be conscious of how to hold it, it'll scrape you all over. So this is all that's happening. When you know, all human experience is caused within you. Is that so? Once again, I'm checking with you. All human experience happens within you. What happens within you must happen your way, isn't it? The world will never happen your way. Please know this. Little bit your way, little bit my way, little bit somebody else's way. That's how it should be. Everything happened your way, then where the hell do I go? It happens little bit your way. That's how. But this one person must happen 100% my way. But right now, that's the only problem with life. This one is not happening your way, isn't it? If this one happened your way, what is the problem in the world? Whatever the situation, we'll deal with it to the best of our capabilities. That's all there is. Yes or no? Some situations we know how to handle. Some situations we don't know how to handle. That's about it. Say, we don't want to play with words. So, to make you understand this, It is not because of what I have spoken they are the way they are, because of simple practices that they are doing in their life, because it's brought the necessary transformation. Words anybody can say. Today you will hear this and tomorrow you will go. The best things have been said to you right from your childhood, by your parents, by your teachers, by many, many people, isn't it? Great things have been said, but they don't stick because there is no experiential dimension to it. It is just psychological. When something is fresh, it means something. After 3 days, you've forgotten what it is. This is how it happens. So because there is a practice, there is an experiential process, with that, you have realized at least a little bit. That realization is always transformative. It's the transformation which makes the difference, not the identity. We generally call it inner engineering because we've engineered the world. See, our lives have improved in so many ways because of engineering, isn't it? Today we are sitting in this hall because it's engineered in a certain way. Now, yesterday you were in Japan, today you are here. This is engineering. You didn't swim or surf. Airplane brings you. So this must be understood. If suppose you did this 100 years ago, or let's say 200 years ago, you flew from Japan to here. If you claimed you are the messenger of God, we would believe you. If you say you are the daughter, there's no precedence, but still we would believe you. If you said I'm herself, we would still believe you, because you flew from Japan to here. Today we know you just flew by an airplane. A very common thing, everybody does that. Just a ticket. So, what you call as magic or a miracle. See, 1,000 years ago, if I just had a light bulb, I could claim I'm the messenger of God and people would have believed. Just turn on the light, whoa, the whole population would bow down, yes or no. So, what is one man's miracle is another man's engineering. This is called inner engineering. You engineer your interiority in such a way that it's the way you want. At least you should be the way you want. Nobody in the world will ever be 100% the way you want. Hello? Even if you have two people in your family, they are never 100% your way, isn't it? That's why most people got dogs these days. But these days, even they do their own thing. When they need food, they behave the way you want. Once they've eaten, they behave differently, the way they want. Just no one in your life will ever happen the way you want. This one person must happen, isn't it? If this one happened, if you happened just the way you want, would you keep yourself miserable or blissful? Blissful. For yourself, it's always the highest level of pleasantness, isn't it? Sometimes what you want for your neighbor may be debatable, but what you want for yourself is always highest level of pleasantness. What is pleasantness? See, if your body becomes pleasant, we call this health. You want it? If this becomes very pleasant, we call this pleasure. If your mind becomes pleasant, we call this peace. If it becomes very pleasant, we call it joy. If your emotions become pleasant, we call this love. If it becomes very pleasant, we call it compassion. If your very life energies become pleasant, we call this bliss. If it becomes very pleasant, we call it ecstasy. If your surroundings become pleasant, we call this success. Only to create pleasantness in your surroundings, you need the cooperation of the world around you, many forces around you. To create pleasantness of the body, pleasantness of the mind, pleasantness of emotion and energy is 100% your business. Pleasantness in the world, you need cooperation from people, otherwise it will not happen. Getting cooperation from various forces and people is a question of skill. Not everybody can do it to the same extent, but keeping this one pleasant is 100% possible for every human being. Only thing is they have to become willing. Oh, Sadhguru, I am willing, but I get angry. No, no, no. See, it is that but. You have to kick that but. Yes, but. If you don't kick that but, it's not going to happen. Yes, I want to be like this, but look at the way she is. I can't be happy with her being like this. There's no end to this. You want the whole damn world fixed before you can be peaceful and happy. You are not going to be. Say, the only thing that human beings want is pleasant experience of life within and around. Just that different people are defining it in different ways. Somebody believes I can be pleasant only if I get $1 billion. So his pleasantness is postponed for a certain number of years or maybe for good. So similarly, everybody is putting conditions. Sometimes they may be fulfilled, Sometimes they are not. If they are fulfilled, you will realize it works for some time and then it drops off. So essentially, fundamental thing to understand is human experience comes from within. If you don't take charge of this, no matter where you are, no matter what you have, recently something happened. People who are living in palaces, literally royal palaces, they committed suicide. They're living in a palace and they're committing suicide. See, the nature of mind is such, whatever you dwell upon, generally it manifests that. This is what I said. You have a huge computer, but you don't have the keyboard. So somehow it's working. Once in a way, it works the way you want. Rest of the time, it's in reaction to other things. You must understand, the fundamental aspect of being human is this. You're the only creature on this planet who is referred to as a human being. Umbat, being, just a umbat. Elephant, being, no. Tiger, being, no. Ant, being, no. Only you are a being. What this means is, if you explore the possibility, you will know how to be. If you know how to be, then what is the problem? Right now, the problem is you don't know how to be. So, this problem is because, you know, that Englishman Charles Darwin said, you were all monkeys at one time. You were all monkeys and then you became human. He also said other things. I'm making it very simplistic. A goat could have become a giraffe over a million years' time. A pig could have become an elephant over many more million years of time. But a monkey became a man rather too quickly. Yes, to a point where anthropologists are searching for a missing link somewhere. So, if you look at the DNA science, what the DNA scientists are saying today is, the DNA difference between you and a chimpanzee is only 1.23%. 1.23%, not much of a difference, isn't it? So, physiologically, that's how close you are to a chimpanzee. But in terms of intelligence and awareness, you're worlds apart from a chimpanzee. So this is your problem. You have an intelligence for which you don't have a stable enough platform. Unless you stabilize this, your own intelligence is going to freak the hell out of your life. It works to some extent. Somebody dances, somebody sings, somebody does something else. Different types of activities people use to stabilize themselves. But any activity that you do, how many hours in 24 hours can you surf or dance or sing or do whatever? So this is why it is important you find an inner mechanism which wherever you are, it's always on. If you're doing this with physical activity, you get enslaved to that activity. See, right now, only if I sing, I can be happy. I have to sing, all neighbors will have to vacate. I have to sing 24 hours. So I'm saying any activity that we do, only if I eat this, I'll be happy. We'll have to be eating. Only if I drink this, I'll be happy. We have to be drinking. Anything outside activity, if it decides our inner way of being, we get enslaved to that activity. And no activity is it possible for anybody to keep it on for 24 hours all the time. No activity, anything cannot be done. Unless it's an inner mechanism where you just know how to be. Like breath, it's happening. All the time it's happening. So this is where the yogic systems are important. We start with outer activity, slowly take it inward in such a way, a transition happens where even if you don't do anything, it's the same way. But with every other activity, you have to do that activity for you to get that experience. That's a fundamental difference.